Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Mike Kapler here. I'm the Cap with the Breeze Man, Joel Breezeke, for the Growing in Grace podcast. Do you feel older now that we're over 1,000 podcasts, over 20 years old?
I don't feel old. Well, my body feels old. But yeah, 20 years of the podcast and 1,000 and what? This is 1,003 now. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, we met 30 years ago, and I think I shared on our 1,000th episode about how I can go back and listen to some of those the tapes of when I was new and fresh in radio, and I just cringe because it's just very cringeworthy. But I think to myself, that was 30 years ago, and it doesn't seem like it. And us starting this podcast 20 years ago, it on the one hand, yeah, 20 years has passed, but on the other hand, I still feel fresh. I still feel like this is new. I mean, every time we sit down to record, I feel fresh about all this stuff. I feel good about it. I feel like this is just, we are sitting down to talk about some good news. And so far, it's never gotten old to me. So I know that's not what you were asking me, but there's my answer.
It was a bumper question, just, you know, the program. I really didn't want an answer.
Like, hey,
but
how you doing?
To answer it anyway, so.
Like you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? And they spend 10 minutes telling you all the horrible things that are going on with them.
Before we get going, and this will tie into what we're talking about, but I have a complaint. I'm just going to air it out because sometimes you just got to get things off your chest, right? So. We're a couple weeks or so now past Valentine's Day. Well, last year, my wife got me something. Well, let me say this first. You know those shrimpy little bite-sized candy bars that they call fun size?
Yeah.
Well, fun. Just because they're called fun size doesn't really mean that they're nearly as fun as, say, like a candy bar the size of a yardstick.
There you go.
So last year, my wife gets me this peanut butter cup. And one peanut butter cup, not a fun size, but some huge thing that, you know, I wasn't going to sit down and eat it in one sitting, but probably several sittings at least. And that would have probably even been beyond the serving size. So she gets me this huge peanut butter cup. And it wasn't just bigger round, Joel, like way bigger round than your typical normal peanut butter cup. It was also like 3 times thicker.
Oh, my.
It was, and now that was fun.
That was a fun, that's fun sized.
that, to me, that's the fun size. And so people can be convinced easily based on descriptions and how we identify things, including ourselves, you know, like at the church of the jailhouse flock, people can be convinced they'll find confidence and peace with God by working at becoming something, a dedicated doer or whatever it is. And with that, they can be persuaded into buying into any descriptive label through which they will identify. You know, if you're being told you're just a dirty, rotten sinner, even as a believer in Christ, then you carry that with you. If you consider yourself as somebody who is weak and constantly tempted and constantly failing, you kind of start to tie your identity into that. Mm-hmm. And the religious bunch will always tell you, well, you need to get right. You need to repent. You need to rededicate. You need to stop. You need to start doing this. And so people get tied up and messed up sometimes with who they are as a believer in Christ because they're being identified with certain labels that aren't necessarily true. And so that's my candy bar story, but I think it carries over into, you know, how people see themselves, which sadly, when we look at ourselves instead of looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, if we think we're the one who has to complete something, if we think we're the ones who have to contribute something to our justification, then we're gonna stumble. We're gonna, you know, I said it before, Joel, I spent a lot of years in my Christian life and in my younger years wondering, where do I really stand with God and what do I have to do to make sure I'm in his good graces?
Yeah. And right there is the difference between the Christian religion and true life in Christ, because I think many people have made it out to be a religion that's really not very different than a lot of other religions. I think we might say, yes, Jesus, in our religion, Jesus died and he rose again from the dead, and we'll make a point of that, but in the daily life, in the daily living of many believers, it still comes down to following a religious list of things that they're supposed to do, being focused on their works, what they do and what they don't do. And that's their identity. They're wrapped up in, I'm performing well enough or I'm not performing well enough. I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do or I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to do. And it becomes no different than any other religion, other than some of the talk. You got some talking points about the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus, but the daily living becomes nothing different. And like you said, it's really not about focusing on us and what we do, but focusing on Christ and knowing him. We did a podcast about, you know, the difference between knowing about him. I think that was podcast 999, the difference between knowing about him and knowing him. And that's the difference between a religion and what life in Christ is really meant to be about. And so, you know, this whole fascination with works and doing. Somebody joked around with me in a comment. I know you guys are against works and doing, which of course we're not. And he was wanting to thank you and I for the work that we do with this podcast. And so, you know, there is such a thing as doing. Like, as a believer, I don't just wake up in the morning and then just do nothing. You know, so it's not like we're ever saying that you can't and don't do. But the difference is, are you doing stuff to try to be justified? Are you doing stuff because you think you have to prove that you're justified and saved? Or do you have a new identity in Christ that you understand, and you're living from that new identity? You are one spirit with God, Paul says. And the way that your life, you know, is lived out is a whole lot different than somebody who is looking in a book for rules to follow. I mean, what are the Christian rules? We've talked about how people have come up with 1,050 New Testament commandments. Some people are pretty strict with that stuff. You got to follow all of these things, when those really weren't written. You know, Paul didn't write these things as like, this is how to live the Christian life. You follow these things. It's not about that. It's a relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, with Christ, with the Father, knowing him and our life flowing from that, not about a list of rules and works and things that we have to follow.
Yeah, you know, after last week's program, is works meant to be some sort of proof of faith, some sort of evidence that you're a Christian? And I mentioned this in passing, but let's double down on it here just a little bit, because the religious business of today, even sometimes on the grace side of the fence, they'll say a lot of the right talking points when it comes to believing in Jesus. Salvation is a gift. There's nothing we can do. It's not by works. But then sometimes, even on the grace side of the fence, even though it may be a more watered-down version of legalism, a lighter version, it's just easy to go down the slippery slope. And I probably used to do it more than what I do today. It's just part of the growing process. You know, we were talking about years and stuff, Joel, and I think sometimes 20 years seems like a long time for us here now on Earth in this zone that we're in right now. But in the big scheme of things, eternity is a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to understand the concept. And that's why sometimes people who grow old in their bodies, which is all of us, they don't always feel that old inside because it's the same person. It's like Paul said, we're renewed. The real you inside that body. See, the bodies will die, but you don't. You'll continue to live on in some way, shape, or form. You're a spirit being, and you're renewed day by day, Paul said. That's kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But bodies do wear out. But with this proof of faith thing, we're saved by grace through faith, and there's nothing we can do. There's no works involved with that. But then we kind of twist it just a little bit, and it's easy to start slipping down that slippery slope into just even diet legalism.
Diet legalism, I like that.
And so we got to be careful of that, because here's the thing. You know, when they tell you that you need some sort of proof of faith, and I know this has been mentioned briefly in some of our recent podcasts, but let's focus on this. The religious folks will tell you, they'll give you some sort of generalized, vague concept of good works as some sort of proof of faith to be seen outwardly in order to attain some sort of prize, or so it's seen by others. But compare that generalized concept to the Jewish people who are clinging to a very specific blueprint known as the law, which came through Moses. And so we have this significant difference in that the religionists of today will not provide you, unlike the blueprint from the law, which is quite specific and lengthy, the people of today who are advocating for works in some way, shape, or form as some sort of proof of something, in some cases salvation, they will not provide you with a specific blueprint on precisely what works to perform and how often to perform them. Now, that's a pretty big piece of the puzzle to be leaving off. Mm. That's a big matzo ball to leave off the works menu. You'll be wondering, like I did for many years, you'll be wondering where you stand with God in any given moment. You'll be wondering if faith is dead or alive. And that type of justification, quote unquote, justification, it does not bring peace. It does not bring rest to the aspiring doer who is trying to do something for some other reason and motivation. Maybe not to be saved, although in some cases that is true, but as some sort of proof of faith or evidence, or if I'm not doing this, then am I really saved? Boy, that's a good one in some religious circles. Well, we believe that you can't lose your salvation, but if you're not doing this, that, and the other thing, maybe you were never saved to begin with. So people just get into confusion, and it just leads to fear. And there's no fear in love, not the God kind of love. And we'll talk more about love as we continue on, perhaps this week and next week as well.
Yeah, I think this is so important for us to get into our hearts and understanding this whole works thing, because like you said, so Israel had 613 commandments. It was pretty well spelled out for them. God spelled it out for them what was expected of them. And of course, they fell short of that. Now, like I had mentioned, some believers have come up with this 1,050 New Testament commands, and they believe we're expected to follow all those. Other people, and I think this is most people, like what you were talking about and how my life had been, I really didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do, but I kind of came up with my own things. I think I mentioned a while back, you know, I went through a period where I had to listen to Focus on the Family and Chuck Swindoll, and if I didn't, I felt so bad. It was Monday through Friday mornings, and I had to do this, so I had kind of made my own little just thing of what I had to do, but nobody had really defined. I mean, there were certain things, yes, So you have to be in church every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. You have to do this. You can't do that. But the point, but as far as, okay, in order to prove that you're saved, what specifically is it that you have to do, and what specifically do you have to avoid? And you go from church to church, from denomination to denomination, from belief system to belief system, and you're going to hear a wide range of lots of different things. And there's nothing, there's no one that's going to tell you, well, specifically you have to do this many works, you have to avoid this many bad works, and then you'll know that you're justified. It's kind of like this false idea of progressive sanctification. We've talked about that in the past. We are sanctified. We've been sanctified by God. It's His job. It's what He has done. He's already done that. And if it were up to us to sanctify ourselves, this progressive sanctification thing, well, what specifically, what point do you have to get to when you know now that you're sanctified? And nobody can really tell you. And it's the same with how many works, what are you supposed to do, what are you not supposed to do? And so the really good thing on all of this is that you don't have to be focused on your performance. You don't have to be focused. In fact, you shouldn't be focused on whether your performance is good enough or is too bad in order to either qualify yourself for justification or not, or disqualify yourself. It's Christ who is the standard. Christ was the perfect, the one perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. And it's through having died with Him and being raised together with Him in His perfect life, that's where our identity is found. And that's the standard. It's Him. It's not what we see in what we do, but it's what we don't see. It's Christ Himself.
The responsibility is not on us. You know, even the disciples asked Jesus before the cross, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to work the works of God? The rich young ruler, I just wanted to make sure, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? See, doing and inheriting are not, that's a total clash. Mm-hmm. Inheriting doesn't come from the result of doing. And, you know, the Galatians and other Gentiles, Judaizers, come along and say, well, I know you're doing this spirit ministry grace thing, but you also have to do this, this, and this, circumcision, other things with the law. And they were probably like, oh, well, I guess Paul neglected to tell us about this. But I see it today, too. Just tell me what I need to do, because we just want to make sure. We want to be the one responsible for our eternity. Why would we want that? Especially just based on some of the things we were just talking about. How would you know that you're in the right place? Instead, inheritance is a family thing. And as one who was born or adopted into a family, you are a child who has inherited the attributes of, in this case, the Father. You are a righteous individual. You are holy. You are clean. You are sanctified. You are perfected. And it's all because of what He did for us. And so we can talk, Joel, I think, in maybe the next program or two on, because people have asked us in the past, kind of like what you just mentioned earlier in the program. Somebody might write and say, yeah, I know you're not really into the works thing when it comes to salvation anyway, but how do works fit into the Christian life? So maybe we can get into that here coming up here on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.